Amen. Appreciate that, offered story. We need to be drawn closer to the Lord's side. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we're also going to be looking in Psalm 1 tonight as we continue studying about fruitfulness. Throughout Scripture, God uses this analogy, if you will, this picture of a plant and fruit-bearing to give a picture of the life of a follower of Christ. And God has planted us. The seed is the Word of God, and the soil is our heart. And He's planted His Word. We've sprung up. There's life there because of Christ. But He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. And nobody plants crops just for no reason. When you plant crops, you expect to get fruit. And God has planted His Word in our lives, and He expects us to bear fruit. So tonight we're going to talk about how in order to bear fruit, we have to have the right roots. We've got to be rooted. There's got to be that rootedness before there can be fruitfulness. And so Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, if you're able, let's stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Colossians 2 and verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would speak to us through Your holy word. I pray, Lord, that You give us a heart, a desire to bear fruit for Your glory. And Lord, I pray that You would help us each day to dig deep, to be in Christ, to abide in Christ, and to be rooted and grounded in You and in Your love. Please help me now, for I'm nothing without You, and I pray that You bless Your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Just very quickly, if you look at verse 6 again, this all begins with having received Christ Jesus the Lord. And none of this matters. You can't be rooted in Christ if you're not in Christ at all. We've got to be born again. We've got to repent of our sin and unbelief, put our faith and trust in Christ alone, and receive the gift of eternal life. And so many people are confused about that today. I ask people if they've ever been saved, and it seems like people don't know what that means. They think getting saved is having some preacher pray for them, or they think getting saved is being baptized, and there's so many different ideas, but the reality is, it's that moment when you repent and trust Christ as your Savior. So a lot of times I just ask somebody, "Have you received the gift of eternal life?" And that's a different way to ask it, but man, it really gets down to it. Have you received the gift of eternal life? So if you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, you have eternal life. And if you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, then walk in Him. If you've been saved, then you ought to live like you're saved. And so we're born again and we walk in Him. And then He says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. And so in order for the plant to grow up, it's first got to be rooted down, right? So we've got to get that established. We've got to be established in Christ, and we dig deep into His Word to be established in Him. And the deeper our roots go, the taller our branches can grow. The better the roots are in, the more fruit that can be born later. And so we've got to be rooted, built up, and established as we've been taught from the Word of God, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then there's a warning in verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so we've got to be saved, we've got to follow Christ, we've got to dig deep in Him, and then we've got to be careful, because there are things and people who will keep us from growing in Christ. When Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, "Who did hinder you?" And so many times when we get messed up, it's somebody. When you get hindered, when you get messed up, it's usually someone. Who did hinder you? And how many times have we said it? They just got to running with the wrong crowd. And by the way, that's not just something that happens to teenagers, college students. It's something that can happen to anybody, anywhere. And the influences of people in our lives are so great now because so many of you spend time on Facebook, you spend time on the internet, you spend time watching television and movies. All of those things are people who are having an influence in our lives, and we've got to beware, be careful. How many of you, when you go to somebody's house, if there's a sign on the gate that says beware, do you pay attention? I know Brother Ryan does. He and I have been out door knocking several times, and I'm telling you, when there's a beware of dog sign on the gate, Brother Ryan's not too keen on getting in that yard. So we do the rattle test. You rattle the gate, wait a minute, rattle the gate, and wait a minute just to see. Because I'm telling you, I'm not in business of messing with somebody's dog. And I don't want it messing with me. So, but beware. And when God's Word gives us that warning, we've got to pay attention. It's important for us to have deep roots if we're going to last. You remember the parable of the sower? Some fell by the wayside, and the birds come and snatch it away. The devil comes and snatches the seed away from that hard heart. We know that some fell in the thorny ground. The thorns grow up and they choke out the plant so that it can't bear fruit. But some fell on the stony ground. And that's a place where there's rock right under the surface. There's just a little bit of soil. And that seed will go and it'll spring up real fast. And the reason it springs up fast, immediately with joy, is because the roots aren't growing down, so the plant shoots up real fast. But guess what? When the sun comes, it's scorched, because it doesn't have any depth to its roots. And I want to tell you, there are a lot of people who very excitedly trust Christ as their Savior, make a profession of faith, and it seems so good. But the first little hint of trouble that comes, they're gone. And it's because they had no depth of root. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want to finish my course with joy. I don't want to quit. I don't want to get burned up, burned out. I want to be spent for the Lord, but I don't want to be burned out. And so we need to get roots. It seems like in our society today, everything's being uprooted. Families are being uprooted. Our government is being uprooted. Our economy seems to not have any basis in foundational truth. So many things around us, and even churches, are not rooted in the truths of the Word of God. And so we need to understand how important being rooted is. Rooted and built up in Christ. We need to be rooted. Let me give you five reasons we need to be rooted real quick. Number one, we need to be rooted because of false teachers and false teachings that abound in the last days. We need to be rooted in the truth and rooted in Christ because there are so many false teachers and false teachings. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." These false teachers easily deceive Christians who are not deeply rooted in Christ. I'm going to tell you, there are false teachers all around us today. And it's so important. And today it seems like more than ever before, there are YouTube channels and podcasts and TV evangelists, and so many people are out there preaching their message. And just because somebody says the name of Jesus Christ does not mean that they're preaching the truth. Number two, we need to be rooted because of our cultural drift away from God. The fastest growing belief system in America today is no belief in God at all. The number one growing religion in America today is no religion. You know what the number two fastest growing religion in America is today? In post 9/11, it's Islam or Muslims. The United States of America today, the fastest growing religion is no religion at all, atheism, and the second one is Islam. That's staggering to me. And I'm telling you, our culture continues to move away from God. It continues to become more and more secular. More and more churches are closing down. More and more churches aren't churches at all anymore. We went to the national meeting in Lexington, and there's a lot of really old buildings there from the 1700s. Beautiful architecture and really neat stuff. And so many of the old church buildings are restaurants or breweries. I'm just telling you that it's sad what's happening in America today. And because our culture continues to move away from God, we need to be rooted. So false teachers, our cultural shift away from God. Number three, we need to be rooted because of the pull of our own flesh. Every one of us has to battle the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. And I'm going to tell you, I think maybe the greatest enemy I have is myself. Abraham Lincoln said that he was afraid of one man. It was the man that walked under his hat. I am my own worst enemy. And we have this fleshly nature, this carnal mind and carnal body that leads us away. We have the old man that we have to deal with. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Friends, we've got to deal with ourselves. So we've got the world moving away from God, we've got our own flesh that we've got to deal with, and there are false teachers. Number four, we need to be rooted because of the uprooting of the family. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And so many families that name the name of Christ are not rooted in Christ, and they drift away. I want you to know that just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean that your family's going to be rooted in Christ. Just because you're at church, at Calvary on a Wednesday night, does not mean you're rooted in Christ. This is a daily personal commitment. And if you don't make a concentrated effort to root your family in the Word of God, you won't stay. You won't stay in Christ. Number five, we need to be rooted because of the ancient landmarks are being removed. Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." In biblical times, they didn't have fences like we do today. I mean, you can go to places around and find ranches that have miles and miles and miles of fence. But what they did was they marked their corners, and they did it with a big, large, very large stone. And when it was set up, that was a boundary marker, and you don't move that, because moving that is basically stealing. And so that picture was given so that we would understand that when God has set something up, you don't move it. God's truth hasn't changed. Culture may change and the world may change, but God's word doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we don't need to change those ancient landmarks. We need to stay true to the landmarks of the Scriptures. And what was true 2,000 years ago is true today. And what was true 1,500 years ago and 1,000 years ago and 200 years ago and 50 years ago is still true today. The truth does not change. And so we need to hold to the truth. Roots are a personal part of everybody's life. I can preach to you, but I can't read your Bible for you. I can pray for you, but you have to do your own praying. I have to maintain my walk with God. You have to maintain your walk with God. In other words, I want to do all I can to help you, but you have to live your Christian life. And you've got to be rooted and grounded in the truth. So let's talk a little bit about planting these spiritual roots. Roots have the idea of an origin. You ever heard somebody say, I'm just getting back to my roots? You ever heard that? Okay, maybe you're getting back to your roots. You ever heard that? I mean, I feel that way sometimes when I go home to visit mom and dad at Bragg's. I get on those old dirt roads, and I'm getting back to my roots when I get on dirt roads. That's just where I'm from. And we get that. That's where we're from. Well, ancestrally, roots are where we came from, our genetics, our nationality, where we come from. When we're talking about plants, the roots are where it came from. The seed was planted, and out of that came the plant. That's where it came from. And from that seed, the leaves spring up and the roots go down. That's where it comes from. But for a Christian, our root is Christ himself. He is who we are. He is our life. And we have to be planted in Christ. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. It starts by faith in Christ that we're born again. And genuine spiritual vitality originates only from our relationship with Christ. He is the originator. He is the developer. He is the cause of our roots. It's him. And we've got to be in Christ by faith. A lot of people are Christian because their parents are Christian. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a real personal relationship with Christ by faith in his death and resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that there are something that we might call today true and false converts in the church? But don't you think that's what the Lord was telling us when he said that there were wheat and tares? There's two things growing, but only one of them is going to bear fruit because only one of them is really genuine. I'm telling you today that just because somebody's in the church, just because their name's on the church roll, does not mean that they belong to Christ. And we've got to make sure that we're in Christ. We have to be planted in him, and then we have to pursue him. We pursue this depth, this rootedness, by choosing to walk with Christ. He says, so walk ye in him. In John 15, the Lord calls us to abide in him. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and that we ought to abide in Christ. We ought to dwell in him, stay in him, and walk with him. You grow up to the measure that you're rooted down. And we're rooted down by making a decision to walk with Christ, becoming rooted in him. When our roots are properly planted in Christ through salvation and they're nourished by the water of the Word of God, then we can grow. When I think about this pursuing Christ, I always think about two people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, I always think about David. Why? Because God said, I sought me a man after my own heart. What does that mean? Well, it means that David pursued the heart of God. And it didn't mean that he had that heart. It means that he was following after it. He wanted to know God. When God said, seek ye my face, David said, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my heart longeth after thee. David was a man that passionately pursued Christ. He had a heart for God. He was more interested in walking with God and knowing God and passionately being closer to God and knowing God more. He was more interested in that than he was anything else. In the New Testament, I always think about the Apostle Paul. He said, I forget everything else. The everything in my life, everything I've accomplished, everything that I am is nothing to me. He said, I count it but dung that I might win Christ. Everything in my life, it doesn't matter because I want Jesus. And he said, I haven't attained yet. I haven't got there yet, but I forget the things that are behind. I reach forth to the things that are before so that I can grab hold of Jesus Christ. He passionately pursued the Lord. And friends, that's what God calls us to. When he says walk in him, it's not just some flippant thing. This is a serious dedication to make a decision every day. Today I'm going to pursue Christ. I'm after him. We've got to do this by being planted in the Word. I want you to kind of hold your place there at Colossians if you could, but then look at Psalm 1. God bless you and your family. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we got this parallel to Colossians, right? Beware of the traditions of men, the philosophies, the vain deceit. Watch out for the wrong influences in your life. Don't walk with them. Don't stand with them. Don't sit with them. Stay away from those evil influences. And then he says, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so it comes down to the word of God. If we're going to be rooted in Christ, we've got to be rooted in his word. And in his law, we meditate. To meditate means to dwell on something, to contemplate it, to run it through your mind over and over, to chew the cud, as it were. And we ruminate on it. We just keep thinking about it over and over. And when we do that, when we love God's word and we meditate on his word, then we become this tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you see how it all hinges on the word of God? Friends, we need to get a real love and a passion for the Bible. And it needs to be more than a devotional book. It needs to be more than reading just a few snippets of what somebody says. It needs to be something that we passionately pursue. But we want to know him. We want to know more about him, and we need to know what he wants of us. And we've got this desire for the word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Some of you can't remember, but I can. How much a baby wants milk when a baby wants milk. There's nothing you can do for a hungry baby to pacify them when they're hungry. Anybody remember that? I can still hear the whales screaming. There's nothing you can do. You can bounce them, you can rock them, you can give them a pacifier, you can play music, sing them a song, it just doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do but feed the baby. And when you feed the baby is quiet. Amen. Feed the hungry baby, and it's satisfied. We need to desire God's word like that. There's so many things we're interested in. So many things people are passionate about. It's just funny how different people get passionate about different things. It's getting to be football season. Some of you guys are football crazy people. I confess to you that I really enjoy watching football. It's hard to be from Vian and not love football. Amen. Thank you. It's what you do. I can talk to some people, and I like football. I like to talk about football. I'm going to tell you, but some of you are passionate about it. I can talk to you about anything under the sun, and you don't really, your emotions stay here, but then I bring up OU football, and it takes you to another level of excitement. And why? Because you're passionate about it. You're interested in it, and you want to know. Some of you guys, deer season's coming up before long. And some of you get plumb crazy at deer season. And you're passionate about it. Now, I talk to you about anything under the sun, and you don't get excited, but when you start talking about hunting, all of a sudden, you get this new level of excitement. Why? Because you're interested in it, and you study about it, and you look things up, and you learn, and you want to know what the best way to hunt in is, the best place to hunt, and the best things to wear, and the best weapons to have, and all the things that go with it. Because you're passionate about it. You invest your time in knowing about it. And I'm just trying to say tonight, friends, we ought to be passionate about Christ and his word. There's a lot of things that I can get excited about OU football. I get excited about airplanes. I really, really like airplanes. And I can get excited about that. But I want to be passionate about the word of God. Because when I dig deep in the word of God, when I dig deep down in the word, then I can grow up and bear fruit to the glory of God. Let me give you some practical advice if you don't do this. You need to set a time every day to get in the Word of God. You need a time. You've got a time when you go to bed. You've got a time when you get up. You've got hopefully a couple of times a day when you brush your teeth. supposed to do that twice a day. Floss once, in case you didn't know. PSA for you there. There's a time. Some of you are people who shower in the morning, and some of you are people who shower at night, and we appreciate it. Whenever you do it, we're just glad you do. You guys, if I said supper time, for some of you that's 5 o'clock, for some of you that's 6:30, but there's a time. You eat supper about the same time most days. Some of you just get it whenever you can. I know. Some of you don't have lunch time. You just, whenever you can. But I'm just saying there are times that we do things every day. We are people of habit. We have routines. And there ought to be a time that you get in the Word of God. Maybe it's when you get up in the morning after you brush your teeth and then you spend time in the Word of God. Or maybe it's after you get ready. Or maybe it's before you get ready. But there's got to be a time when you get in the Word of God. There also ought to be a place. Got to be a place. This is hard, especially those of you with little kids. It's hard to get a place where you can get alone with God. If you have little kids, it's hard to find a place to be alone at all. The little fingers stick underneath the door, no matter where you go, right? I see you, Daddy. Yeah, I know. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. So what do? Well, you get a time when you can be alone, and you get a place where you can be alone. And it's important to you, so you make it happen. It's good to have a plan. I'm not saying you can't do this every time it's time to sit down with your Bible. You can't just go. You can do that. You'll probably get something good every time. But I think God gave it to us in a way, in an organized manner. I think it's good to study it that way. You know, we've divided it up and put it in a certain order. It wasn't given to us in the order that it's here in your Bible. And we've divided it up into chapters and verses. They didn't write them down as they were inspired by God, by the way. You knew that, right? Paul didn't write chapter 2, verse 1. It's not the way it was. But he gave the book of Colossians, and he gave it word by word, in order. And it's good for us to study things that way. Our God is a God of order. And so get a time, get a place, and get a plan. Maybe it's a Bible reading schedule. Maybe it's just a study through a book, whatever it is. Some people are all about the quantity. You could read through the entire Bible in like 3 months if you read 10 chapters a day. Read through the Bible in a year if you read about 3 chapters a day. Some people think it's more about quality than quantity. And maybe you just pick a book and study it. And maybe you spend a week in verse 1. There's nothing wrong with that. The point is that we are in the Word. And we are trying to know the God of the Bible. Acts 17:11 says, "These, the Berean Christians, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." And we need to daily be in the word of God. And we need to be disciplined. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." This exercise denotes a consistency. Okay? Some of you work out regularly. Some of you don't work out regularly. I know people who work out regularly, and when they exercise, that's an important time to them. They have a time, they have a place, and they don't let anything interfere with that because it's important to them. They have to do that. Because if you're going to exercise and stick with it, then you have to do that. You can't let other things interfere with it. I want to tell you something. Exercising yourself to godliness and studying the Bible is far more important than exercising yourself bodily. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It's good. It's not bad. It's good. But it's only good for a little while. But godliness is profitable both now and forever. We've got to make up our mind that we're going to grow spiritually, that we're going to be rooted in Christ. And so we've got to plant those roots, and that happens in the Word of God. Our personal Bible study is critical. But it's more than that. This time, when we get together as a church and open the Word of God and go through it like we're doing tonight, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Friends, this is vital for us. If we do this right, we're putting more roots down. If we get this right, it's going to help us tonight and forever. If we get this right, it's going to help us tomorrow. It's going to help us get up and get in the Bible and be in the Word and seek God's face through His Word. But there is a problem, because there are things that would prevent our spiritual roots. In our text in verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So we got this warning to beware, because Satan is going to do whatever he can to get you out of the Word of God. He's going to do whatever he can to distract you. And distractions are abundant today. Have you ever sat down at your computer to do something? I'm assuming you have a computer. And then 30 minutes later, you forget what you got there for? You ever get out your phone? A lot of you guys have smartphones. You ever get out your phone to do something, and 30 minutes later, you've wandered all over the world, and you're like, what was I doing? I mean, distractions are abundant. They're plentiful. And Satan's going to do whatever he can to derail you. He's going to do whatever he can to stop you. There are always things that are against. Listen, I asked last week how many of you had a garden, and almost nobody raised their hand. And I wonder if it's because it's hard. You see, I don't have a garden because it requires constant care. If I could just walk out the back door and throw some seeds out, go back in a few weeks and have tomatoes, I'd do that. But it doesn't work like that, because everything in the environment is working against that. There are critters in the ground that like to eat the roots. And when something does grow up, there are insects that like to and animals that like to eat the fruit. There's always something that's going against growing the crop. And it's no different spiritually. So we've got to beware. The culture of this world is an enemy. Facets of our culture become so ingrained in our daily living that they appear innocent. Factors of our culture become so ingrained in our daily living that they appear innocent. We become desensitized to the wickedness of the world. We see them so regularly, it becomes normal. I want to tell you this. If we could go back, and you wouldn't have to go back far, a couple hundred years. If you could bring George Washington back to life tomorrow and let him just walk around the United States of America today, I think he would be physically ill. At the condition of our government, at the condition of our society, I think that he would probably not even be able to walk around in our cities and towns because of the clothing that, or the lack thereof, that people don't have. I think that when he walked, you took him by a billboard, he would probably blush. And Lord help if you turned on the television. He might just die. That's just a couple hundred years ago. Imagine, what if we brought Abraham back? Father Abraham, if he could see the faith of people today, that faith that began with him because he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. I'm just trying to say that we get so desensitized to it. It's like the old frog in the boiling water, right? You just turn the water up, the temperature up, very slowly, and it'll never know. I mean, if you take that frog and try to throw him in there and it's already boiling, he's going to try to get out. But if you just put him in that cold water and slowly turn it up, he'll just sit there until he cooks to death. And I think that's where we're at spiritually in America today. We're slowly being cooked to death, and we don't even notice there's a problem. We're warned to beware, which means be alert to the dangers. We've got to constantly and consistently be on guard. We've got to beware lest anyone spoil us. To spoil means to be carried away. When you spoiled somebody or something, your army spoiled them, that means that you conquered somebody and you took away their stuff or their people. And that's what God's warning us against. You better watch out, because if you're not careful, the world will carry you away. We got to beware of the philosophy and the vain deceit. Philosophy is the love of wisdom, but this is not God's wisdom, this is the world's wisdom. Philosophy, by the way, for all of you who are in college or who have kids that are going to be going to college pretty soon, philosophy is one of the most dangerous things in the world for our kids and for you. I witnessed to somebody who's in college. You can always tell the ones that are in a philosophy class or just had one, because they get really, really stupid. Like, common sense is gone. Philosophy's dangerous. What is it? It's taking our own human reasoning and elevating it above God. That's what philosophy is. It's reasoning things out on our own and taking our own wisdom and setting it above God. We've got to be careful about philosophy. God's word warns us against it, and vain deceit. Now, Paul was talking to Colossians in the Hellenistic age, and they were all about worldly philosophy. They were all about worldly wisdom, and it was pulling people away from the truth. And their philosophy drew them to vain deceit. It's an empty lie. Romans 1:25 says that they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we're being spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We've got to be careful about the traditions of the world, and we need to follow. There are, by the way, some good traditions. Listen to this, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Sometimes we think all tradition's bad. Not all tradition's bad. When the tradition's based on the Word of God, that's a good thing. We're worried about staying away from the traditions of the world. The rudiments of this world are the basic ideas and philosophies of the world in which we live, and we've got to follow Christ. The culture is absolutely opposite of Christ. And if we're going to be culturally relevant, we better be careful that we're not taking ourselves away from Christ and His Word. We've got to deal with the world, and we've got to deal with other people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We have the drift of culture, the concepts of tolerance, all the different facets of our society pulling us away from the Bible. And then we also have specific individual friends and family who would take us away from Christ. Let me say this. When you are around somebody, they're either going to bring the spiritual thermostat, they're going to bring it up, and things are going to become more spiritual, more Christ-like, more God-honoring, or you're going to get around some people and it's going to bring it down. It's become more worldly, more wicked, more ungodly. We need to make sure that we surround ourselves with people that are going to bring us closer to Christ. Following Christ may cost you friends, but I promise you, it's well worth the cost. We ought to love Him more than anything else. We've got to plant our roots deep in Christ and in His Word. And we've got to be careful, because there are those who would prevent our roots from taking ground. And next week we're going to talk a little bit about the product of those spiritual roots. But tonight we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you to please stand with me. I just want to ask you a couple of questions before we sing this song of invitation. Number one, most important question, are you in Christ? I mean, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you've repented of your sin, you put your faith in Christ, you have eternal life because you're in Christ? And if you're in Christ, are you walking in Him? I mean, do you love him? Are you living for him? Are you passionately pursuing him through his word? None of us are pursuing Christ like we should. None of us are pursuing Christ like we could. So let's get our hearts right with him tonight. God, give me a desire. And tonight, if you stand and you can honestly say, Lord, I know I'm saved and I do love you, but I know I don't love you enough. Lord, I'm not passionate about your word. I don't love your word like I should. If that's you tonight, just be honest with God. God, give me a heart. Give me a love for you. Give me a passion for your word. We need to ask God for that, and he'll give it to us. If he's convicting your heart tonight, you come right now.